past and bother us. Sunday mornings, Kevin, Eddie, Kenny, myself, others on the basketball court every Sunday morning, rain, snow, sleet, or hail, playing basketball. So this does not mean a thing to us as far as the snow is concerned. But it's good to come back home and to share with fellow believers in Jesus Christ. You sang a song earlier, and the song was, "I Really Love the Lord." As I sat there and was listening to the words of the song and you're singing the song, it dawned on me to ask the question, do we really love the Lord? You know, we sing the songs and we say the right things and sometimes do the right thing, but the truth is our heart really with the Lord? And I just come to tell you, if God is not first and most and best, then all that you do is really in vain. We must love him with all of our heart, amen, our soul, our mind, and our being. Because when he comes, none but the righteous are going to see God. That's not my message, this is from my heart. Because we're living in a day and age when things are just upside down, when right is always wrong and wrong is always right. And somehow the devil has convinced us that wrong is right. Somehow we have gotten to the point to where we put God in our box and ask God to come to our term to do things our way instead of doing what God says to do. Somehow we have become God. The devil has convinced us that what we say is right, what we do as right, is right. But I've come to tell you, the Lord that I serve changes not. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. And his word will always stand. It is good to come back home. Now your pastor, you know, sort of described me as being put together and every hair in place. Well, the truth of the matter is, his hair is always in place. Not one strand out of place. What can I say? Again, I thank him. It's been a long time. We're charter members here. I remember as if it were yesterday, walking down the street, coming from the old Huntington, all walking all the way down Emerson Avenue and coming all the way up here and coming to these steps and walking through those doors. It's as if it was yesterday. Amen, amen. God is a good God. Amen. And I love him because he is so good. Good to see you, Tom. How you doing? Amen. Yeah, one of my basketball players, Tom Huggins, that's right, that's right. Don't go down low on Tom, because Tom will hurt you down the post. Amen, amen. But anyhow, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. I want to speak today. At my church, we just started divine worship at 12 o'clock, so I've still got time.
Yes!
Amen, amen. Amen. I'm not sure what time you all get out here, but we get out at 2 o'clock at my church. Oh, you got 1 o'clock here? Okay. All right. Please be patient with me. Amen. 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 All right. For those who want to leave at 1, you can go at 1. I won't be offended by it. Amen. Amen. It's all right anyhow. But I want to speak on the subject matter, let it go. Let it go. Let us pray. Father, not as I will, but as you will. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. I'm asking, oh God, right now that you remove every stumbling stone, every stumbling block, remove anything that would hinder our hearing and receiving what you will say to us on today. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Let Jesus be lifted up so that he can draw souls unto himself. This I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Let it go. I am concerned that this afternoon, I'm concerned about the fact that many of us, many people in the church are not going to make it into heaven. We read the Bible and the books, but a lot of people, or should I say a lot of God's people, are no closer to Jesus than the unchurched. Like the Jews of old, when they thought that because they were Abraham's seed, they were safe. But Jesus said to them in John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me. Just because we come to church does not make us safe. There's something that we have to do. We have to be focused on him who is the author and finisher of our faith. So there's something that we have to do, some things that you and I must let go of. So I'm come today to tell you, let go. Amen. Word of God says, and Gehazi said, I will run after him. As the Spirit of God will guide today, I will preach on the theme, let it go. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, let it go. Tell your other neighbor, they aren't really worth it. So let it go. I believe somebody today is about ready to let it go, amen. There are some folk who do not want you to be blessed. It bothers them, it disturbs them, it upsets them to see other people who are blessed. Some have become so spiritual that they have a spiritual checkoff list that qualifies those who should be blessed. But every now and then, God blesses people who you think should not be blessed. Now tell your neighbor, I'm so glad you don't control my blessings. There are some folk who will go out of their way to make sure that you do not enjoy your blessings. I'm not making it up. It's in the text. Now, for most of us, the story of Naaman ends after he is cleansed. But really, the story just gets started after he has been cleansed. Because brothers and sisters, as long as somebody is dirty, folk will not bother them. But as soon as they get their acts cleaned up, they get their acts together, folks start coming out of the woodwork trying to hold them down. And so if you are living the abundant life, the Lord sent me to tell you, be cautious, because everybody who's grinning in your face isn't happy about your success. You see, Naaman has been cleansed. He was obedient to the man of God. He went down to the Jordan River. He went down reluctantly, but he went down and dipped himself 7 times. But then the word of God said that when Naaman realized that he was cleansed, he went back to the man of God with all of his company, with all of his charity, with all of his stuff. And he stood in front of Elisha's house and simply said, I just want to thank you. Whenever the Lord blesses you, you ought to return and say thank you. Not only did he give a word of thanksgiving, but he also had a word of proclamation. The Bible says that as Naaman stood in the presence of Elisha, the man of God, he said, I am convinced that there is no other God anywhere other than the God of Israel. He said, before I was in doubt, I thought about this thing, that we had a pluralistic society, that there are many gods, but he said, I've only just discovered there's only one God who can cleanse us, and he's the God of Israel. And so as he stands in the presence of Elisha, he is so happy, he is so grateful for his miracle, for his healing that God had wrought in his life, that he said to Elijah, I want to give you a gift. You remember now that when he came to Elisha, he came with a caravan of stuff. He had a lot of clothes, and he had 10 talents of silver, and he had 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of garments. And he said to him, I really want to leave you something. Whatever you desire, just pick out what you want. Elisha says, as the Lord our God liveth, I will not accept any of your gifts. The word says that Naaman kept on pleading and begging, please, sir, and this is out of gratitude. This is out of response for what has been done for him. Please take a gift. But Elisha said, I refuse to take any of your gifts. There are several reasons why he said that. I want to tell you, there are some blessings you ought to deny. Some people are so desperate for a blessing, they'll accept a blessing from anybody and everybody. But brothers and sisters, I want you to know that the devil is also in the blessing business. Now, I'm not calling Naaman the devil, but you've got to understand that Naaman was of a pagan realm. That's all of his garments. All of his wealth had been dedicated to a pagan god. As the prophet Elijah said, no, I know it looks good on the outside, but if I take your stuff to my house, I'm going to mess up my stuff. And besides, I can't take something for what God has done. See, many people have gotten messed up because they're looking for at something that is glittering, it shined, it gleamed, it looked like it was wonderful. But you need to be cautious because the devil knows how to bless some folk who are desperate for a blessing. That he'll send the first thing your way and you'll take it. You need to understand, not every blessing comes from God. The devil knows how to bless his people too. In fact, if he didn't bless them, they would stay on his side. The Bible said that Naaman goes on to say, I would that you take a gift from me. Naaman goes on to say, well, if you're not going to take a gift from me, then I just need you to pardon me. Pray for me. Because when I get back to my master and he kneels to worship those foreign gods as his chief servant, I've got to help him get down. He says, I know that God has done something in my life, but my atmosphere, the place I have to get back to, is not conducive to my experience. Please hear me now. There are some folk who get baptized in the church house, but when they go back to their own house, there are some things in the house they need you to pray for them when they, why? Because the atmosphere in their home is not conducive to the experience. Brothers and sisters, Elisha says, I can pray for you, but your gifts I don't want, but I will call out your name before the Lord so that you will have strength as you have to seek the king. Well, that's the turning point in the text. For the Bible says that at that moment, as Naaman gets on his beast with all of his caravan and all of his stuff, and he started going his way back home, as he was moving, one of Elijah's servants, Gehazi, saw that the man of God was allowing Naaman to leave with all of his stuff. The Bible says that the prophet's servant looked at the other servant and said, I can't believe that Elisha is going to allow him to leave without giving a gift, covetousness. The word said, thou shalt not covet. He thought to himself, my master was too easy on him. Please hear me now. He should have taken everything he offered him. But Hazai was so envious that he said, nah, if he won't take something, he'll leave us. I know what the prophet said, but he ought to leave us a gift at least. And he said, I will run after him and take of his stuff. Gehazi wanted pay for something he did not perform. From a man Elisha believed should accept nothing from. As surely as the Lord lives, I'm going after this Syrian to get whatever I can. Gehazi did not see Naaman as a new convert, but as a soldier in the enemy land. He did not see where the man had been changed by the blood of Christ. He only saw a Syrian. Sometimes when folk get baptized and join the house of God, we don't see them as new converts. We always remember them for where they came from. But I come to tell you that when God has changed you, it doesn't matter what man might say. God has made you new. So therefore, walk in your newness. So as the Lord lives now, he's trying to persuade himself that he's doing something in the service of God as the Lord liveth. He knows full well that he's doing wrong. Now, if we get right down to the point, we'll realize the text was really between Elisha and Naaman. It had nothing to do with Gehazi. But because he had an envious spirit, he got into stuff that really didn't belong to him. Yeah, I'm going somewhere with this. Trying to get into somebody else's business. Please hear me. If you are not in the Sabbath school, it's not your stuff. Always trying to get in somebody else's business and tell them how to do what they do. It's not your stuff. It's not between you and them. So therefore, mind your business. You see, Gehazi had nothing to do with Naaman's healing and his cleansing, but he was sitting on the sideline saying, he ought to do this and he ought to do that. And he ended up getting caught up in some mess. And there's somebody in here today sitting on the sideline looking in, and you're just talking about what this person ought to do and what they ought not do. We're on the sideline, but we're looking in. Let me tell you something. You ought to stay out of other people's mess and stay in your own lane. Because if you're like most people, you've got your own mess to deal with. So I don't have time for your mess and I'm staying in my lane because I got too much of my own mess I got to deal with. So Elisha's servant said, I will run after him and take up his stuff. See, I'm going somewhere with this. So help me, Holy Ghost. As I read that text, it dawned on me that somebody should have been there to tell Gehazi, let it go. Since I couldn't catch up with Gehazi, God sent me to tell you, let it go. Tell your neighbor, let it go. It may look like everybody else is prospering in front of you, but God said, let it go. It may seem like everybody's getting a promotion and you're the underdog, but God said, let it go. Tell your neighbor to let it go. I need to make it clear. I'm talking to saints. Because if the truth be told, saints can be more jealous and more envious and more covetous than the unsaint. Help me, Holy Ghost. But this thing was working on him. He could not figure out why the prophet, why the man of God would allow Naaman to leave without giving a gift. But he missed the point. And Elijah's point was that this stuff was dedicated to pagan gods. And he did not need the devil's stuff to be blessed. And he couldn't take credit for what God did. See, you may be struggling, but let me tell you something. You don't need the devil's mess to be blessed. You may be lonely today, but you don't need a man or woman from the devil to be blessed today because their stuff will mess you up. How many folk have gotten with the wrong person and they just messed you up? You may be broke, but you don't need a lottery to be blessed. You just need to be faithful. As Christians, we've got to have some integrity and just say there are some things I refuse to be a part of. So as I look at the text, I say, what happens? What happens if you don't let it go? Because truth, there's some of you are still convinced. You're saying, yeah, he's saying the right thing. Got a good little sermon there. But when I get home, when I catch up with so-and-so, When I get to work, I'm going to set this thing straight. But God said to tell you, let it go. Why couldn't Gehazi let it go? Well, the first reason is in the text in verse 20. He said, behold. I want to stop right there. You see, Gehazi was too busy looking at somebody else's business. The word behold means deeper than a look. It means to gaze with a fixed intent, to look with eagerness. It means to stare, to look fixedly, to look with searching. It means to ponder, to weigh on your mind. What Gehazi was doing, he was staring at all the stuff that Naaman had. He had a fixed intent, and it weighed heavily on his mind. Oh, I wish that was mine, if I had just half that stuff. You know how we get when we see somebody else's stuff. Instead of celebrating with them, you get envious and start gazing. You start staring, and I know what happened to you. See, God's giving you something new, and you're walking in it, and you feel all eyes looking at you and looking at you move about. But that's why there are so many divorces in the church. Folks start staring at and gazing at somebody else's stuff. That's why there are problems in our homes. If you don't believe me, just look at King David. He looked at. He gazed at. He had a fixed intent. He's beholding somebody else's stuff. Your wife may not be a Tara Banks or a Halle Berry. She may have a few extra pounds, but those are your pounds. See, some of you have your wives dressed up looking like ladies back in 1920. But let a young lady walk by showing some legs and dress fitting real well. You'll break your neck trying to see what was walking by you. See, I say dress your wife and make her look good and appealing to you, that you'll break your neck trying to watch her when she walks by you. That's why there's so many divorces in the church. You're too busy staring at somebody else's stuff. That's why a lot of folk get married two and three times. They're looking at the wrong stuff. The divorce rate for a second marriage is higher than the first one. All you have to do is open up your wallet. Let her go to Jenny Craig, Lucille Roberts. Let her go there and lose some weight. And if she does not lose those 10 pounds, that's just 10 more pounds to love. When you learn to appreciate what you have, you don't have any time staring at somebody else's stuff. Tell your neighbor, you look good, but so do I. Some people can't even worship God because they're too busy staring at what somebody else has. Who does she think she is? Why does she have that? How come I don't have it? Because God didn't give it to you. Because your spirit ain't right. That's why she got it and you don't have it. All you have to do is be faithful and God will bless you. He'll bless you real good. So if you don't let it go, you'll find yourself wasting half of your day thinking about what other people have. So let it go. Secondly, if you don't let it go, you'll end up leaving your appointed place. It's in the text. Look at what Gehazi said. He said, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. Gehazi didn't have any business following Naaman. He was the servant of Elisha. do not have any business running after him or her. They don't belong to you. Gehazi should have only moved when Elisha moved. You should only move with whoever you are under moves. You ought not move out on your own, but wait until you get the word from whoever you are under. When they say go, you go. If they say stay, then you just stay. You see, when you start staring at someone else's stuff, the only natural thing, or the only next thing is, you'll begin to gravitate to what you're looking at. Somebody here trying to figure out, how did you get to where you are? Well, it's because you've been looking at all the wrong stuff. You're wondering, how did you get yourself in that mess with that woman or that man who isn't yours, in that car, in that hotel room? You're wondering how you got yourself in this mess. Well, you've been thinking about it long enough, and as a reaction to your thoughts, your feet started moving in the direction your mind had already been. That's what happened with David and Bathsheba. His mind had already been there before his feet started going there. The Bible says the man thinks in his heart, so is he. So I contend today that people backslide mentally or spiritually before they do physically. Don't tell me you just woke up one morning and you were in a backsliding position. No. You've been thinking about it for a long time. Laying in bed thinking, oh, I just miss her. I miss him. Then you wake up and you're sleeping with him or her. If you gaze or stare at something long enough, the next progressive thing is that you're going to end up right there. That's why the Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The battlefield is in the mind. When you feed your mind on what you feed your mind on, help me, Holy Ghost, on that which is unholy, you ought to ask God to now work on my mind, because my flesh will follow my mind. The haze I was running and staring at Naaman and stuff. And before he realized, he was running after me. Who are you running after? What are you running after? You aren't supposed to move until the Lord says move. But who are you running after today? Let me tell you something. If God hasn't given you the go-ahead signal, you better stay where you are until he says move. Because some of us can testify, you can get in trouble leaving before time. Now, if you don't let it go, you'll find yourself staring at that which is not yours. Don't let it go, you'll find yourself leaving your assigned position. If you don't let it go, thirdly, you'll find yourself lying. Let me tell you something. You can never tell just one lie. You gotta tell at least two lies. I'm not making it up. The Bible said that when Naaman saw Gehazi coming, he got out of his chariot and he turned back to Elijah's servant, asked him, is everything okay? Are you all right? All is well. Gehazi just said, yeah, my Lord, please, it's fine. He said, but the prophet told me to tell you to receive two of his sons in the ministry and give us a portion of money and give us two sets of changing clothes. Mind you now, Elisha never sent him anywhere. Put a footnote here. Saints don't lie because they want to lie. But when you're in an unauthorized place, you have to cover it up. So you lie. They'll say, you know, I told you that because the pastor told me to tell you, and he had no idea that you even moved. They were covered up to cover their ears. Gehazi said, my master, my prophet, my pastor, if you have sent me to tell you, give us some money and two change of clothing. He sought to cloak his avarice with a lie. Elisha was made to be responsible for his greed. What will people do in the name of the Lord and claim they're going to heaven anyhow? The second lie, that's the first lie. The second lie was when he got back, Elisha asked him. Well, let me back up. He says that he knew he was doing wrong. Because when Naaman gave him his stuff, he gave him two of his servants to carry the stuff back for him. And when he got close to home, he told the boys, I'll take it from here. The Bible said that when he got to the tower, he said, okay, boys, I can carry the rest of the way. So he takes the stuff and he stashes the stuff in his house. You know, like some shoppers do when you go shopping, and they shouldn't be shopping. They sneak in the house, hide in the closet, and 2 months later pull the bag out. Oh, I had it for a long time. You hide the stuff in the house. And so when he gets back home, he goes in the presence of Elisha, and Elisha asks him, where have you been? He lied. And he said, I haven't been nowhere. I've been here all the time. Elisha said, nah. You see, when you left, my spirit went with you. See, when you decided to go on your own way, you did not go by yourself. When you left me, my spirit went with you. Somebody had believed the lie that when you get yourself in trouble, that God has somehow deserted you. No, when you're getting your mess, God's spirit has gone with you in your mess. Don't let the devil tell you that when you got on your own and walked on your own, that somehow God left you. No. When you left, his spirit went with you. You decide to go your own way. My spirit is attached to your spirit. You see, and somebody believe the devil that you believe that somehow you're by yourself. But God told me to tell you that when you left his spirit, his heart left you. If you don't let it go, you're going to keep lying to cover up your tracks. You got to keep the story straight. Listen, now, I don't know about you, but I don't believe it's worth it. Because you have to remember what lie you told to each person. You got to keep the story straight. And one thing is for sure, the devil will do this. The devil will trip you up with your own lies. The Bible says that he had to lie because he was so determined to be blessed, to take what Naaman had, that he had to lie to Naaman and to himself. It's terrible that many of us are being deceived by our own selves. But I've come to tell you to let it go. Because if you don't, you cannot be honest with yourself. And brothers and sisters, I'm not trying to impress you, but if I can be true to myself, I can sleep at night when I get home. Because listen now, but if you are too busy trying to live a lie and you take the mask off at night, you've got to somehow twist and turn all night long. Why? Because the real you is catching up to you while you're sleeping. One final thing. If you don't let it go, you'll end up with leprosy. The Lord says, Elisha said to him, because you have deceived me, that which was the leprosy of Naaman is now yours. You missed it. He said, because you've been so envious of Naaman, not only did you get his stuff, but
But now you got it conditioned too. And somebody in here today is so envious of somebody's stuff that you're running the risk of not only getting their stuff, but getting their condition too. Help me. Elijah said, now you're going to be stricken with leprosy. Oh, but it gets worse than that because he says that you and your seed forever. Oh, help me. Not just you, but your children and your children's children, everybody in the family tree. Some parents in here are messing up the future of their children and their children's children because they refuse to let it go. They may have more than I have, but that's all right. As long as I have a future, I know the better days are coming after a while. Today you may say, preacher, I really don't want to let it go. I've heard what you said, but the stuff looks too good that I think I just gotta have it. Well, I've come to tell you, let it go. Let it go and God will do something better for you. Sometimes it takes God a long time, but if you learn to be patient and tell the devil no, God says you will reap whatever you sow. You will reap and you will not faint. The devil wants you to bargain with him and your stuff. But God told me to tell you all you have to do is be faithful. I know that's right because if Gehazi would have waited a couple of chapters over, he would have discovered that God told the man of God to let it to get up and go back to Israel. Why? Because the famine was over and God was going to bless them with more than they did if he'd have just waited. Closing, if you can just hold out and hold on. If you can just be steadfast, if you can just be unmovable, in due season, God will pour out more blessings than you are able to receive. It pays to wait on Jesus. You may be crying sometimes, but it pays. Folk around you may be getting blessed, but let me tell you something. God has your time in his hands, and when it's your time, ain't no demon in hell can stop what God wants to give you. They can't deny your blessings. I just come and tell somebody that God got your blessing for you. So tell somebody, I'm going to wait on him because you can't hurry God. Oh, you may have to wait. You may have to trust God sometimes. Give God time. And no matter how long it takes, he's God. You can't hurry him. So I say wait on the Lord. And in due season, God will bless you real good. He'll be there. Don't you worry. He may not come when you want him, but he's always, always, always on time. Tell somebody he will be there because I tried him and I found out for myself. So I know that God will show up. So let it go with tears in your eyes. Let it go. Your heart breaking. Let it go. Your pockets empty. Let it go. I want everybody in here now, please stand to your feet. Stand to your feet and do this thing for me. Stand up. I want you to bring to the front of your mind that thing that you need to let go of. Whatever it is in your life right now, whoever it is, bring that thing, bring that person to the forefront of your mind and tell God, I want to take this thing, I want to give it to you, I want to let it go that you can loose me and set me free. I don't know what you're holding on to, but God told me to tell you, let it go. It may be some bitterness against somebody. It may be some anger issues. It may be a jealous spirit, but it may be somebody that you have not forgiven in years. It may be somebody you have not yet forgiven. It may be some envy. Lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset you and run the race. Run the race with patience. I want you to bring that thing to the forefront of your mind. You've been carrying that thing long enough. It's now time to let it go. Actually, what I'm doing is what Jesus did with Martha and Mary. They said, Jesus, you had been here, our brother would still be alive. Jesus simply said, show me where you laid him. show me where you laid it. Just bring it to the forefront of your mind and show Jesus where it is. Jesus said, if you spiritually move the stone, I can call it forth. After I call it forth, I'll say, loose him and loose him and let him go. I'll loose you and I'll let you go. Are you ready? Are you ready for God to loose you and let you go? Well, I want you to put it under your feet to loose him, Lord, and let him go. Whatever it is, stop it, release it, let it go, give it up, and let God come in and let God free you from that thing that's had you bound and tied up for years. It's time today. Say, devil, I'm letting you go and letting it go too. Anything that you give up for God, anything you sacrifice for the kingdom, God will return it to you more than you can ever know. So let go of that relationship. Let go of that anger. Let go of the malice. Let go of the hatred. Let go of the pride. Let go of that mouth. Let go of the unforgiveness. But let go of the carnal nature. Let it go and come to Jesus. Think about if you had stayed in that relationship with the person you thought was Mr. Right and you thought was Ms. Right, if you had stayed there, you'd be messed up right now. But God told me to tell you today that whatever it is, let it go. And when you let it go, but let Jesus come in. Because just letting go is not enough. Because it can come back to you. So if you really want to let it go and be set free, open your heart. Let the trash out. Let Jesus in. But when Jesus comes in and lives within you, he'll fulfill your every desire. He'll grant you more than you could ever expect or even think. But that's the kind of God that he is. He is that faithful that he would do more than we can think or even ask. But today, if you want him to bless you, you must open your heart and let Jesus in. You must open your heart and receive him as Lord and Savior. Today, there may be somebody here in this room. You are now ready to let it go. Let the alcohol go. Let the drugs go. Let the premarital sex go. Ready now to say, Lord, I'm turning it over. I'm releasing it to you. But Lord, when I empty the house, I need you to come in to fill the house. So Lord, today I'm opening my heart to you. I'm inviting you to come in on the inside to live in me and to work out your will and your good pleasure in me. Today you are here and you have not yet made Jesus your choice. You have not yet let go of the world and the things of the world. You have not let go of the devil and the devil's stuff. Today I come to tell you that Jesus says, let it go. Because I'm coming back one day. And those who have let it all go, what I will give them is more than the earth could ever give them. I'm going to give them everlasting life. I'm going to give them a home in glory. I'm going to give them the opportunity to live in a land where there's no more sin, no more dying, no more cursing. I'm going to give them the opportunity to live in a place where there's peace and joy forevermore. But today you must let the stuff go and let Jesus come in. If you have not yet made him your choice, you have not yet said, Lord, come in and make a difference in me, then I want you to raise your hand and say, Lord, I'm the one. I need you today. I want you to come into my heart, live in me, and make me a brand new creature in you. Today I'm determined to let the devil's stuff go and follow after you. Today is the day I'm saying, release me and set me free. If you are here and you want to be set free, you can't do it by yourself. If you could, you would have, but you can't do it on your own. If you could, you would have. You need Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Today he is here in this room waiting just for you.
to give you a new hope, a new start, a new lease. But you've got to come. He won't force you. He'll ask you. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you open up, I'll come in. And I'll sup with you and you with me." Today, he says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." I'll trade this world for just one day in paradise. So if you're here, you want to be in that number, we'll see Jesus when he comes. Lift your hand. Lord, it's me. See, I want to be in the crowd that runs to you, not from you. I want to be in the crowd that says, "Lord, this is my God. I've waited for him." I want to be in the crowd who's ushered to the kingdom of heaven, who walk through those pearly gates, who sit around the welcome table and there allow Jesus to minister to us. But today, you must make a choice. My mind's made up. I choose Jesus. Because everything down here is temporary. It's going to fade and burn. But with Jesus, I'm eternal. So if you are here, you want to give God your heart. He's calling on you right now to give him your heart. Don't play church. Don't act like you all that because you ain't. You ain't even holy. Because we're all sinful. We're all filthy. It's only his blood, his righteousness. Today he's waiting for you to come to him. 30 seconds and I'm done, but he's saying, let it go. Stop holding on. Stop holding on. Let it go. And come to Jesus just now. Whosoever will, let him come. You're here and you want to come? Just come. Don't worry about people around you. They can't save you. Only Jesus can. So you take one step, he'll do the rest. Is there one today for Jesus? Say, "Lord, it's me. 20 seconds and I'm done. I'm going to sit down. I'm done." But he's here waiting on somebody to say, "Lord, here I am. Today I've decided. I'm going to let it go, whatever it is. And I'm coming to you." If that's you, then just step out of the aisle and meet me down in front and give me your hand, but give God your heart. If you're here, you want to come to Jesus today, give him your heart, just step out. 15 seconds and I'm done. But he's in here for you. He's waiting for you. Any man, woman, boy, or girl, doesn't matter. You ain't got to be perfect. Don't try to get it right, you never get it right. Just come as you are. And while you're coming, like the lepers, he'll change you. Just come. It's that one. 10 seconds. He's waiting just for you. Come to Jesus just now. Oh, he's waiting to enter your heart. How long must he wait? Because soon the trump is going to sound. When a trump sounds, it means it's too late. So while you have time, while you are able, while the breath in your body, come to Jesus now. Make your calling and election sure today. Don't try to wait till next month, next week, next year. Do it today. You're not promised, but you have right now. Is there one just for Jesus today? 5 seconds. He's waiting just for you. Just for you. Father, we come in your name and we praise and we thank you. We thank you, O God, because it's by your Spirit. It's by your Spirit that we can live a life worthy of our calling in you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for teaching us through Gehazi, Lord, that we need to let things go. We're trying to hold on and run after stuff, Lord, that we should not run after, should not have, because they're not from you or of you. Sometimes, Lord, we are trying to do things without you. But today, Father, I thank you for Gehazi's lessons. If we don't let it go, Lord, we don't let it go, we will start lying to ourselves. We'll start moving in direction we ought not move in. We'll start, Lord, coveting and then receiving somebody else's stuff and their condition. Lord, save us from ourselves. We're our own worst enemies. We've deceived ourselves into believing that we're okay and we are really messed up. So Lord, by your Spirit, reveal us to us so we can fall at your feet, confess our sins, and ask you to make us over again. Father, my desire for all of us is that we do see you on that day, the day that is soon to come, when you will step out on the clouds, when you will return with a whole host of angels with you, when you will come, the trumpet will sound, and your voice will blow out, and Lord, then the dead in Christ are going to rise, and we who are alive will be caught with them, and we're going home. I want to be there. I want all of us to be there. But it's personal. It's individual. So I pray that as we leave here, that your Spirit will continue to nudge us, tug at us, convict us, reprove us, but draw us close to thee and make us over again. Father, we bless you and we thank you because you are so good. You are an awesome God. A loving, forgiving, patient God. We thank you for being patient with us. Now, Lord, I give us to you today and say, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.